This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, April 14th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the 30th annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive is on the horizon. We'll speak with a couple of organizers. We'll also hear about efforts to expand mental health services to unhoused population in Denver. And food columnist John Lindorf will be in the Boulder studio this morning with a guest, the owner of Local Table Tours. They'll discuss the state of local restaurants. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then it's Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. Today, she'll spend the hour with Lafayette-based artist Adderley Grant Lord. At 9:30, Shauna Sprouls will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with a morning sound alternative. That's all still ahead. But first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Benita Lee.
Colorado's House Judiciary Committee approved an amendment Wednesday that toughens a bill targeting fentanyl use. Following criticisms from law enforcement, legislators changed House Bill 1326, making it a felony to knowingly possess more than 1 gram of fentanyl for personal use. Republicans say an older 2019 bill failed to address the fentanyl problem because it made possessing up to 4 grams of fentanyl a misdemeanor. Just a few grains of the synthetic opioid can be fatal. Harm reduction advocates oppose the bill, saying that criminal punishment doesn't stop drug addiction. The bill now moves on to the House Appropriations Committee. Republican Governor Pete Ricketts of Nebraska is expected to sign a bill that passed legislation Tuesday, allowing the state to begin construction on a multi-million dollar canal. The canal is planning to divert water from Colorado's South Platte River to Nebraska, invoking the rights of a 1923 interstate agreement between Nebraska, Colorado, and Congress. Colorado already provides a portion of water during the summer irrigation season. The canal would allow Nebraska to store some water in late fall, winter, and early spring. A spokesperson for Colorado Governor Jared Polis says the project undermines a long, successful agreement between the two states and will be costly for Nebraska taxpayers. Frontier Airlines agreed in a settlement Wednesday to change its policies regarding pregnant and lactating flight attendants. The ACLU and other groups filed lawsuits for the case brought by 4 flight attendants. Plaintiffs said the airlines did not provide time and space for attendants to pump breast milk in a healthy, sanitary way. They also demanded that pregnancy-related absences not result in disciplinary action. Frontier did not admit any liability, but announced it was proud to be at the forefront of accommodating the needs of pregnant and breastfeeding mothers in the airline industry. Boulder County health officials say soil testing sites in and around the Marshall Fire burn areas don't contain substances that pose a significant health risk. The county checked for 17 metals and found slightly elevated arsenic levels at select sites, but nothing that pointed to widespread contamination. Boulder health officials say the arsenic levels are considered safe and within normal range for the area. The data will help inform proper debris removal and cleanup. In related news, Governor Jared Polis signed a law allowing Coloradans whose homes were destroyed in the Marshall Fire to use their home addresses on their voter registration forms. Colorado Senate President Steve Fenberg says the bill is intended to also set a precedent for voting rights in future disasters. Firefighters have been battling 2 grassland fires in southeastern Colorado since Tuesday. The Fort Lyon River fire east of Las Animas destroyed 2 homes and burned almost 3,000 acres. Another fire in the area is near Bent's Fort, a National Historic Landmark. The Bent's Fort fire has gone through almost 2,000 acres. Officials don't know what caused the blazes. Colorado students and state board Democrats call for bringing back LGBTQ references on the social studies curriculum. KGNU's Luis Licon has more.
Colorado joins a nationwide debate about what should be taught in the classroom. Three current Colorado State Board of Education members have said that they won't vote for the new updated revisions on the state social studies standards if they don't include historical contributions of LGBTQ individuals. This comes after the review committee reversed plans to include the experiences and perspectives of LGBTQ individuals. The revisions would also include adding this language for children below the fourth grade. Pushback for the reversal grew with students and parents who spoke in favor of including the experiences and contributions of the people in the LGBTQ community in social studies standards for younger grades. It is expected that the State Board of Education and the public will keep talking for the next couple of months before the final vote later this year, which may take place around early December. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
The new safety stop law allows bicyclists to treat stop signs like yield signs. KGNU's James Sirafoss has more.
Governor Jared Polis signed the Safety Stop Bill Wednesday, which allows bicycles, e-bikes, and electric scooters to legally roll through stop signs once it is safe to do so. Bikers will still be required to yield to pedestrians and vehicles. Red lights still require a complete stop for bikers, but they may proceed before the light turns green if it is safe to do so. Bicycle Colorado, an advocacy group for the cyclists, promoted the bill, which passed through the legislature by a comfortable majority despite driver complaints. Representative Matt Gray told the Denver Post the bill is a critical step in keeping cyclists and other micromobility commuters safe during their rides. For KGNU, I'm James Sirfoss.
According to the National Weather Service, fire danger will be high across the Front Range this afternoon due to gusty west winds and low humidity. Sunny today, but wind gusts through the evening could reach up to 34 miles per hour. Boulder will see highs near 56 and lows around 33. In Denver, a high near 59 and a low around 33. And in Fort Collins, a high near 56 and a low around 28. Outside the Boulder studios, it's 34 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Benita Lee.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. The National Association of Letter Carriers will be holding their annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive next month. The annual event teams up postal workers with food banks and city residents, playing a role in keeping and helping to ensure community food security. I'm joined live in the studio by two key figures in the food drive effort. Diane Santoyo is with the National Association of Letter Carriers, and Walter O'Toole is food bank manager at EFA, the Emergency Family Assistance Association. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming into the studio. The National Association of Letter Carriers has been organizing this annual Stamp Out Hunger Drive for 30 years now. So many listeners may already be familiar with the effort. But for those who may not be, can you give us a background on what it does and how it works?
Sure. After a very long two-year hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Letter Carriers are thrilled to announce we will be celebrating our 30th annual food drive in person this year on May 14, 2022. It's very easy for everyone to participate in. We ask that you fill a bag of non-perishable food, leave it at your mailbox, and your letter carrier will do the rest.
And is it just on that day, or can it be within like the range of a few days?
We usually have some stranglers the next day, but May 14th is the key date to leave your food at your mailbox.
Okay, a month from today. Walter, you are food bank manager at EFA, an organization that provides crucial support to low-income families in a city with a notable wealth disparity. Give listeners an idea of what all goes into maintaining a food bank in Boulder and how this Stamp Out Hunger food drive is a piece of this.
Sure. Yeah. So at the food bank, we see about 400 families every week. It's a big need that we're filling. And we get food from a variety of sources. The biggest source is donations. We partner with different community organizations and grocery stores to bring those donations. And food drives is a big part of that. And the Stamp Out Hunger food drive is the biggest food drive that we have every year. So for all food drives that we receive, this is usually about 35% of the food that we get from food drives. So it's a very important food drive for us, and especially coming into the summer, most food drives happen around the holidays, and so it's important for us to get one, you know, during the summer. And also, about 1 in 5 students in Boulder Valley schools are on are eligible for free and reduced lunch. And so when summer comes around, there's an increased need for food for those families. So it's very beneficial for us to get this big food drive right before the summer.
Indeed. Many people these days are speaking about the pandemic in the past tense, but the past 2 years have taken a heavy toll on many people and families. Are you seeing signs of recovery, and how much more ground needs to be covered to truly get back to normal from a social safety net perspective?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you ask that. We're seeing more people now using our food pantry than we have at any point during the pandemic. The numbers have continued to increase. So I think, you know, you have a couple factors too, like with the inflation that's happening with food prices. So I definitely, it does not appear that recovery is at hand. There's still a really great need. And, you know, we're happy to provide that. Families can save about $120 on groceries every time they shop with us. So, you know, we encourage the community, anybody who's in need, to come to our food pantry and utilize that resource to help, you know, get back on your feet financially.
And at this point, as a journalist, I should provide some journalistic disclosure that I myself am a client at EFA, utilizing their food bank resources. And this is, you know, I don't really talk about this publicly a lot, but I want to ask you, do you find yourself attending people who may not fit, or having to dispel certain stereotypes as to who uses a food bank in Boulder?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we get all sorts of people that use the food pantry. And, you know, we want people to use our food pantry. Definitely, there is a stereotype that, you know, people are either completely desperate or, you know, taking advantage of the system. That's not the way that we see it at all, and we want to dispel that. We want folks to come in not only if they're in need of food, but also if they're in need of any other assistance. You know, we provide housing assistance and financial assistance for families, a wraparound sort of thing, where we want to bring people to a level of stability where they can thrive in the community.
And Diane, how can residents who may be in more fortunate circumstances contribute? You mentioned just putting out boxes of or bags of food, but is there anything in particular that you're really looking for, or things that people should not include in those bags of food?
I think Walter mentioned things that have already been opened. Stay away from that. Just non-perishable food, canned food is what we're looking for. We will send out a notification by postcard the 2 weeks prior to the food drive, and also a week prior to the food drive, we will put out food drive bags. So your bag will be there for you in your mailbox to fill up.
And KGNU is partnering in that effort as well. So this is something that is a longstanding relationship between the station and the letter carriers and EFA. So I want to thank you both for coming in on a Tuesday morning. Walter O'Toole is the food bank manager at EFA. Diane Santoyo is with the National Association of Letter Carriers. You are listening to KGNU. We'll be right back. Did Denver's 48th Avenue East Health Center recently launched inside a new Denver homeless shelter operated by the Denver Rescue Mission. The program expands medical coverage for the city's unhoused population. Clients can access primary medical and behavioral care on site at the shelter, which gives them more time to apply for programs meant to help people experiencing homelessness get back on their feet. Eric Galatis has more.
People experiencing homelessness in Denver can now access medical and behavioral care at a new health center set up inside a shelter operated by Denver Rescue Mission, just northeast of Colorado Boulevard and I-70. Austin Wosky is a physician assistant working at the 48th Avenue East Health Center. He says the clinic removes a significant barrier to care and was inspired by creative solutions improvised during the COVID-19 health emergency.
We actually, during the pandemic, had a lot of success with a temporary clinic inside of a temporary shelter. Our patients were very grateful to have access to care because they couldn't make it down to the clinic.
Wosky says it takes more than an hour by bus from the shelter to their main Stout Street Health Center. Both clinics are operated by the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Denver Rescue Mission staff have reported that since the clinic opened, more clients have been able to apply for housing and other programs meant to help people get back on their feet. As a primary care facility, Wosky says they're able to meet clients' long-term and acute health care needs.
Folks with diabetes, folks with chronic conditions like COPD, hypertension. Then we also see a lot of folks for acute care needs, so maybe an infection, a wound.
The clinic also provides access to mental health and substance abuse treatment. Wosky says the vast majority of people he sees at the shelter are suffering from childhood or other trauma, addiction, or chemical imbalances, including bipolar disorder and schizophrenia.
We got to understand these individuals, they're not bums. They're not lazy. There's things going on mentally and cognitively that aren't visible on the surface to most people.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
John Lindorf is here in the Boulder studio to serve up his weekly edition of Radio Nibbles. And he has a guest this week, Megan Buckles, owner of Local Table Tours. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Shannon, and welcome to all the folks gathered around the big KGNU breakfast table here on a breezy morning. Hi, Megan.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
It has been a long time, and we were just saying, you know, what a joy it is now to actually be able to get people together in various groupings.
Yeah.
You were talking about a get-together with the Flatirons Food Film Festival, which is coming back, and there was another gathering last night for Slow Food Boulder Seed Swap, so I'm excited about that. And we met because you started Local Table Tours. Why don't you give people a quick idea of what that is?
Yeah, so my business is a 12-year-old now. Wow. Boutique food tour company where I bring people on curated food walking tours throughout Denver, Boulder, and Fort Collins. And I started here in Boulder, and that's where my heart and soul is here with the food scene.
Well, and you've seen quite a few different restaurants come and go in that time on your tours.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I tell people is that during the pandemic, I actually lost 45 of the 90 places I had relationships with. So yes, I have seen a number come and go.
And those either closed or shut down for a long time.
Yeah. Or, you know, they basically were like, we just can't do stuff like this anymore.
Well, and we could have a whole kind of separate discussion
right.
about that. So what's a typical stop like on a tour I assume a lot of these folks are from out of town, but some are local.
Yeah, a lot are local. I mean, today I have a business group of all local Denverites, and so, you know, a lot of times they are locals, mm-hmm. but we do get tourists, but all of them self-identify as foodies, which is really fun.
And it's a walking tour.
Yes.
So there's no shuttling people around.
No, I don't have that liability.
Oh, good. But what's a typical stop like?
You know, a typical stop is we go in, they're
ready
for
us. Well, like,
where
would you stop in Boulder?
Typical stop in Boulder, currently I'm enjoying, like, Barchetta Pizza.
All right, tell me, what would people experience there?
All different fun slices, and they kind of cut them up into little like slivers. So you're not getting a whole slice. You might be able to enjoy three different pieces of pizza with different toppings and stuff. And then we go up to the wall and fill our cups with some few ounces of wine or beer from their little self-serve.
Because they have a wall of tap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is a great pizzeria. It's a nice, I used to live right around the corner.
We did too. And then it wasn't there.
No. the other thing I wanted to ask you about is the Big Stir.
Yes.
This is an event coming up pretty soon.
Yes.
And involves a very cool organization.
Yes. So I am currently the president of the Colorado chapter of Les Dames Escoffier. And we are respect.
What is that?
So we are a nonprofit. It's an international organization, but we are a group of culinary leaders, we like to think of ourselves as. We're all, it's kind of a who's who across the board of the food, beverage, and hospitality industries. But our goal, besides just getting together and having a good time, is to raise money for scholarships for aspiring food and beverage and hospitality professionals. So,
but you left out it's a woman, a women
organization. We're a women run and women organization. The scholarships all go to females who are studying, you know, professional programs.
To become a chef or a sommelier or whatever.
Or in hospitality. Yeah.
And, the organization started quite a while ago in Colorado. But I remember a time when there were actually very few women restaurant owners and chefs.
Sure. I know. And there's a lot. There's more than there were. But sometimes it feels like there's a lot. I sometimes do a tour where I'm like, oh, wow, almost everyone that we featured was female owned. But but we are hosting the Big Stir. I'm the co-chair of the committee for the Big Stir. So I've been working on this since September. And it's next Saturday, the 23rd, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Turnhale Room in the Tivoli Center at MSU campus.
And what's it going to involve?
It is going to be Denver's newest and hippest food and wine festival. So we have 25 tasting tables. Really wonderful things are going to be poured. There's going to be great food. There are seminars, which are going to be super cool. We have Maya Parrish doing the individual grape varietals that make up champagne.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I honestly didn't really...
I thought it was fun.
I'm there with you. Adrian Miller is going to be there.
My friend.
He's going to be there.
You're talking about women and barbecue.
Yes, the history of African-American women and barbecue.
Yeah.
How go cool. Learn. And you don't have to pay extra for these seminars. So when you get a ticket for the Big Stir Festival, you can then pop into the seminar and attend it. It's not an extra fee. So.
And I wanted to, because you eat around a bit, especially now, tell me about the best thing that you've been, you've tasted lately.
Okay. I have this new obsession with the crust of the pizza at Blue Pan Pizza, which is a Detroit-style pizzeria in Denver. So the pizza's great. I'll eat the whole pizza. But if you just cut out the whole pizza part and just eat the crust where the cheese melts all the way to the end, that's my jam right now. So that's one of my favorite bites in Denver. And my other super... like you have to have this dish now, and you can have it today because today is Thursday, is the Dajaj plate at Arabesque. Dajaj is Arabic for chicken. So for weeks I'd hear Manal say, oh yeah, the Dajaj. And I'm like, well, I don't know what this is, but she was just saying it's her chicken dish. So it's on Thursdays. It's this potato and chicken, and it's like in this oil that is bright red that will stain your clothes. It is the most delicious thing you will have.
And Arabesque, again, this is a lot of people probably don't know this, but there's a wonderful little Palestinian restaurant.
Yeah.
It was right next to Barchetta, 17th and Walnut.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just tucked away there, and there's actually parking around there. So thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks
this
for
is
me.
Wonderful, and I hope to have you back to now that we can actually do things together. My guest has been Megan Buckles of Local Table Tours, and bon appetit.
You can read John's weekly column at boulderweekly.com. That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Benita Lee, Luis Licon, Jimmy Sirfoss, Alexis Kenyon, Rosanna Longo-Better, Christian Garibay, and John Lindor for their contributions to today's program. If you'd like to make a comment about something you heard on KGNU, call us at our listener comment line at 303-447-9911. We play those messages back on Tuesday mornings during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for Black Talk with Michelle Simpson. That's coming up just after these news headlines from the BBC.